Psalm 119. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, if you are physically able. We're going to finish up the Hebrew letter Nun. We are taking these Psalms. There are 176 verses in this passage. And we're going verse by verse through them, block by block. Each group of eight verses is attributed to a Hebrew letter. This one is the Hebrew letter Nun. We are reading verses 105 through 112. And we'll read this out loud all together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. The wonderful word of God. You see, as we've been studying through this particular passage, we've kind of looked at some things having to do with the word my. If you'll remember, the word my was emphasized in Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we talked about that my feet there, and we talked about the path, my path that we have in life. And actually, we talked about my path because it was a P letter and it was alliterated for that particular message. Because in verse 106, it says, I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. We talked about my promise that we make to God and that we ought to keep our vows. And then in verse 107, we said, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. And that was my problem. Now, last week, we didn't really have a lot of alliteration, but we did have the word my. It said in 108, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. And we talked about our mouth and how that was critical in our dealings with God. And then in verse 109, it started out very easily with my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. And then for the ending of things last week, we talked about the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. And that one was a little more tricky, a little more difficult. We said that was my escape. And we talked about how God is our refuge and our escape and how he will help us to be able to get out of those snares of the wicked. And we can certainly do that by staying true to the Word of God. You see, all of these things have to do with God's Word. When God's Word is who and what we are, then we have success. We know that's what God promised Joshua, that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. One of the goals that I've had during this study in Psalm 119, we've been doing this since December. Okay? And you know what? Be not weary in Psalm 119. For ye shall reap if ye faint not. Can we just change a few words there, okay? Don't give up on me, okay? We're on 111. We're doing well. So we're doing great as we're going through here. But I hope that each Sunday evening, you gather some bit that helps to emphasize the wonderful Word of God in our lives. So, just for sake of continuance, look at verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. You understand that we have an issue of an heritage. And you've kind of come accustomed to, there are only two verses here, and usually there are 3 points to the messages. So we're going to divide one of them up. This is one of them we're dividing up. So I want you to look, first of all, at the beginning part of verse 111, and to notice my heritage. My heritage. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. David said, this is my inheritance. This is the estate that passes from an ancestor or other to an heir or descendant by course of law. Or that which is inherited. He said, I don't want money. I don't want lands. I don't want a title. I don't want fame or fortune. I don't want all of these things, the antiques that came from grandma's house and all of this stuff. I want your word, your testimonies, your precepts, your commandments, your statutes. I want these as an heritage forever. He said, I've taken these as an heritage for me, something that I can have and even pass on to others. You see, I suppose in our material lives, we all have things that we might consider things that are worth passing down from generation to generation. I've been the recipient of some things that I find value in. Maybe some others don't find value in them, but they're valuable to me. Maybe because they were belong to my grandparents or great-grandparents or things like that. I have an oak table that was my great-grandmother's. It's over 100 years old. It may not be worth much. It's just an oak table, but it means something to me. But we have things that we ought to pass down from generation to generation. Can I tell you something? This is one of those things. Or maybe can I even endeavor to say that this is the thing that we need to pass on from generation to generation. Hey, listen, okay, money's a useful tool and those things are great and fine to have, but I think I'd rather have this than those. As David said, he said, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Y'all believe in being in the Spirit? I just remembered I neglected something. We take a commercial break here. Mrs. Combs, I left the oven on in the gym with something in it, and I don't want to burn the church down. So would you check on that for me? The strangest things hit my mind at the strangest points in time. You know this. Thank you, Mrs. Combs. I appreciate that. All right. Pray for the church that it doesn't go up in smoke. Okay. What happened to your church? The pastor burned it down. All right. Well, thank you for that pause. I God just prompted me on that because he cares about y'all. Are you there in Psalm 16? Let's read this. David says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. They drink, their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You think David was satisfied with the heritage that he had taken in God? I think he was. He said, it's a goodly heritage. He said, the Lord is is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You know, when we have God and His Word as our heritage, it's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing. We ought to not be dissatisfied, as in, is that all I get? Because, brother or sister in Christ, that's more than enough. It's more than enough. It exceeds anything we could want or desire here in this world. Similarly, David says in Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You understand that a heritage in God is something to look forward to. Why? It lasts for an eternity. Forever. We get to sing his praises in heaven. Listen, aren't you glad that we're joint heirs with Christ? Because of salvation? Because of his righteousness and not our own? It's a good heritage. It's something that you should be able to say, like the psalmist did, that I'm going to take these as an heritage for me. In Isaiah 54, God thought heritage was very important and important for his people. And so Isaiah says this, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know, the children of Israel had an awful track record with God. Absolutely awful. But he still says that he's going to support them. He's going to defend them. He's going to provide for them. He's going to protect them. Why? It's their heritage. They're God's people. Well, aren't you glad that you don't have to dot every I and cross every T exactly right in order for God to keep his promises to you? Because we would all be in trouble, wouldn't we? It's not our righteousness. Their righteousness, he says, is of me, saith the Lord. It's the righteousness of Christ that sustains us. And aren't you glad that's your heritage? Not our righteousness. It's as filthy rags, but it's his righteousness. God is our heritage, and it's a good heritage. In Micah chapter 7, the Bible says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. God has given us an heritage. It's a goodly heritage. And David even said, hey, I'm going to take this as my heritage. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter kind of ending things here and kind of closing out this epistle. He speaks specifically to the pastors in the churches of the area. And in verse 1, he says in 1 Peter 5, he says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither be as lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Hey, can I tell you something? This is not my church. You say, you're not a member here? I am a member here. This church doesn't belong to me. This pulpit doesn't belong to me. These pews don't belong to me. You don't belong to me. You're God's heritage. God's heritage. You belong to Him. You know what? He was encouraging these men that were pastors and were called by God to feed the flock, that they're over God's heritage and to care for them as God would. Well, go back to Psalm 119. Heritage is very important to God. It was important to David. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. So, let's look at another part of this verse. He says, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Now, I know it says my heart, and you would think that that's the next point, because that's what I've been doing. But I didn't feel like that fit what the psalmist was trying to mention. We've talked about our heart a lot, and our heart ought to rejoice. But I thought the focus here that David was trying to portray, that in the depth of his being, in his heart, there was something special that the heritage that he had taken of the testimonies of God did to him. So rather focusing on the heart, I want to focus on my rejoicing. My rejoicing. The act of expressing joy and gladness. You see, David said, to think about this. He said, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. So he decided that the testimonies of God were going to be his inheritance, the thing that he desired to possess. And he said about them, this heritage that he took, that he chose. He said, the reason I took these, the reason I made these my heritage, he said, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. These testimonies made David glad. They made David joyful. They made him want to express his joy and gladness to the Lord. Amen. What was David criticized for at one point in his life? Yeah. And his wife at the time kind of looked spitefully at him about it, didn't he? Or didn't she? And you know, the thing was, is he didn't understand it because he was just excited about what God was doing in his life. You know, David was a musician. And listen, please understand, we're not going to get into the topic of dancing right now. But it wasn't that kind of dancing. But you understand, though, he was expressing his joy and his rejoicing. You know, it's okay for us to express our joy. Actually, God encourages us to rejoice. We know that we ought to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We ought to express, hey, the world should know that we're happy with our goodly heritage in the Word of God and in God. Job chapter 8, even all this that he was going through makes this statement. He says about God, behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing, and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. You know that Job knew that even though through this trial, there would be a point of rejoicing for him, because God was his God. He said, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. Psalm 45 verses 15 to 17 says, with the gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. In Psalm 107, the Bible says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. It's an expression. An expression. An outward act that we are glad in our God and in his word. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 126, just a few pages over. Psalm 126. And maybe in one of your Bible, it might be one page just like it was for me. Look at verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. My rejoicing, an outward expression. You know, a lot of times we show grief, we show frustration, we show anger, we show sorrow, right? We show all these other emotions. But how often do we show our joy and gladness in the Lord? How often do we express these things? David said that these testimonies were his rejoicing. They were his expression of what God had done for him. In Jeremiah, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And that's two guys that said that these things were the rejoicing of their heart. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What's your rejoicing? Do you get a kick out of when somebody gets saved? You ought to. You ought to. Or how about this? When you're able to lead someone to Christ, is it your rejoicing? Or does it just kind of, oh yeah, it's just one of those things. No, it's not just one of those things. It's wonderful. Amen. It's a time of rejoicing. He says the angels even understand this and rejoice. You see, it's important to rejoice. What's your rejoicing? Is it the word of God? Is it when someone gets saved? Or how about this? In Acts chapter 5, it says, And to him they agreed. This is, of course, talking about the council that was judging the disciples. He said, And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Is that your rejoicing? You rejoice in persecution? In suffering for the name of Christ? You say, you are crazy! I know, it's a great life. Come and join me. It's our rejoicing. In Romans chapter 12, he says, Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. And bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, I think I saw in there rejoicing a couple of times. Are you rejoicing in the hope of your salvation? Are you rejoicing with them that do rejoice? We ought to rejoice. We know the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, go back to Psalm 119. You're doing very well flipping pages today. You're not slowing me down one bit. I really appreciate that. For those of you that are visiting, that's a little inside joke. It's called deflection. I'm deflecting responsibility on the congregation. It's the preacher that's long-winded, not the congregation. All right. Look at verse 112. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Now this one is a bit similar to what we talked about in verse 106. In verse 106, he uses similar wording and says, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. He says in verse 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. So as a conclusion, simply, I want to talk about my performance. My performance. And I'm not talking about some kind of a interpretive dance. Okay? Or a song. Or a special number. Alright? I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm not talking about being on a stage in front of a bunch of people with a spotlight and and singing or speaking or acting, if you will. But rather, the true definition of perform, which simply means to do, to execute, not to kill, but to get done, to accomplish, or to fulfill. David said, this is my performance. He said, I have inclined mine heart to perform, to do, to execute, to accomplish, to fulfill thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Is that your dedication? Is that your mindset as you look toward the end, which is our hope, eternal life, being with Christ? Are you concerned about your performance? Can I just say about this? You should be. You should be. The master went away and he gave unto one 5 talents. What did he do? Performed. He earned 5 other. And when his master returned, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And as the master went away, he gave to another 2. What did that man do? He performed. And he earned 2 other. When the master came back, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And as he went away, the master left with another 1. And that man, what did he do? He did not perform. Thou wicked and slothful servant. You know what? God knew what the one that was given 5 was capable of. He just expected him to perform. And the one that was given 2, God knew what he was capable of. And all he expected him to do, he didn't expect him to earn 6. His expectation was just to perform. Gave you 2, earned 2 other, that's all I want. I know that's what you're capable of. And to the man that got 1, all he wanted was 1 more. It was reasonable. It was actually, the Bible even tells us that it was in his ability to do so. He did not. You know what God says? I've given you my word. I've given you my statutes, my testimonies, my commandments. And all I want you to do is perform. He even goes so far to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. In 2 Kings chapter 23, we've talked about this before, about King Josiah. The king sent and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and all the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all their heart, and with all their soul. Get this, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They said, we'll perform. We'll perform. And you know what? They did. For a time. But they did. Paul said, I struggle with this. We read this passage this morning, so I won't read it all again to you, but I'll just take out one verse here for you to understand. Paul said, I struggle with this performance. It's a difficult performance. Yes, it is. Who said it was easy? You think standing in front of a crowd of people And speaking or singing or is easy? Maybe for some. I remember when I was a junior in high school, we had to stand up in English class and quote Shakespeare. To be or not to be? What a stupid question. No, that's the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the whatever, I forgot it all. But you know what? Oh, I hated being in front of people. You wouldn't think that of me today, would you? I mean, I hate it. I mean, my legs were shaking. I did not want to be there. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? It's not easy to perform. Paul said, I struggle with this. In verse 18 of Romans chapter 7, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. How many times have you overlooked this word? For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. How many times have you overlooked that? He said, man, this is tough. Yeah, it's tough. Do you know what David said? He said, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I'm going to do it, God. I will perform. This is my performance. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes and says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You say, aha, Pastor Combs, the word perform is not in that passage. You're right. But what is that? It's a performance. It's a performance. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. That's something you need to do. And are over you in the Lord. And admonish you. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. That's something you're supposed to do. That's a performance. He says, along with it, he says, and be at peace among yourselves. Difficult performance. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That's all this. These are all imperative sentences. They're asking you, they're commands, telling us to do something, to perform something. But he says that God's going to sustain us. God's going to sanctify us. God's going to make this all possible. Because with him, all things are possible. And in our flesh, it's just in vain. But in the power of God, it works. It sustains. And it remains. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. You guys are like right on time today. You're fantastic. I love it. Did we burn down the gym? No? Good. All right. Hallelujah. I say we. I just lumped her into my forgetfulness. See how I did that there? I'm good at that deflection thing. All right, are you there? James chapter 14, look at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you know what? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to perform it. We're supposed to execute, accomplish, and fulfill. Do we know what we ought to do? Then we ought to do it. Because if we don't, it's sin. See, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. But the salt hath lost his savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know what that is? It's a performance. It's a performance. Something to do, to execute, to fulfill, to accomplish. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And if I may have just a tiny bit of liberty, that we should perform it. We should. We should. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I just leave you with something? As we remember what David said about inclining his heart to perform, thy statutes always, even unto the end. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from all fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, we've talked a lot of things that have to do with us in this portion of Psalm 119. And as we kind of just focus and sum up and wrap up this idea, I want you to think about your heritage. I want you to think about your rejoicing. And I want you to think about your performance. David said, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Can I just say, ladies and gentlemen, it is the wonderful word of God. Love it. Want it. Desire it. Take it for an heritage in your life.